Two Dope Queens is supported by BetterHelp. The winter season can be a lot. Therapy can be a bright spot amid the holiday stress, the seasonal depression, or whatever you might be experiencing. Visit BetterHelp.com/queens today to get 10% off your first month.
It was a quiet Saturday morning.
Zelensky, give it a rest! It's Saturday!
Professor Wayne Zelensky was hard at work on his new invention.
Could you imagine if your husband, like, shrunk your fucking kids?
That didn't quite work.
I'd be like, we're fucking divorced.
Like, that is so... So irresponsible.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Like, get a job.
Yeah. And then he blew up the baby. He blew up the baby. Like, that's a divorce. That's literally divorces. And she's stuck with him.
Ridiculous.
So you're going to keep this, like, shrinking machine upstairs in the attic? You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to cover it with cloth, knowing that you have... three kids, one's a teenager, you know, like, they're not responsible. Yeah. They're not going to babysit that kid for real.
No. Ugh. That was such a good series, though.
Oh, it was great.
It was so great.
Like, when the baby was just, like, picking up cars and stuff, it was like, oh, my God, what if? Oh. Hello there. I'm Jessica Williams.
And I'm Phoebe Robinson.
And you're listening to Two Dope Queens, the bonus episode, a.k.a. the boner episode.
You guys, we've been busy working on season two, but in the meantime, we didn't want to leave you guys high and dry, hashtag Radiohead, so we're sharing some of our favorite acts to tide you over. These are comedians and storytellers we love that you haven't heard on the show yet.
Yeah, like this guy, Adam Wade.
I mean, he's such a delight. He's got the voice of a songbird.
Yeah, he's like a hot, sort of like Rick Moranis type.
Oh my God, with the glasses and
yeah,
the like.
And brunette.
Like, yeah, and the like, cool. Hey guys.
I shrunk the kids home. And if you ever heard of The Moth, kind of a popular podcast. If you haven't, who are you? He's a freaking Grand Slam champion. A Grand Slam champion. That's basically like. The Pulitzer and the Nobel Peace Prize, like, wrapped up in one.
Mm-hmm.
He shared this story with us at our live show at Union Hall.
This story is what one might call poignant. You know, how something can be sad and funny at the same time. Look, we don't have to get into it. Just listen, okay? Yes, I'm very excited. Are you guys having a good time? Woo-hoo! That's what I like to hear. This guy... is a beast, like, for real, for real. He is.
Beast mode initiated again.
he's won the Moth, like, 20 times.
Wow.
That's beast mode,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, initiated.
he's very, very amazing. Please give it up for Adam Wade!
Great to be here. I moved to Hoboken 10 years ago, and at that time, like, life was like a real struggle for me. I was living in a basement apartment, but it was my own, ladies. But every time it rained, it's like a flood zone, so when it rains, you get water, and it was tough on any furniture I had. And I was just temping a lot, and I had, like, the worst temp jobs ever. Things were really bad, but I was lucky enough to find my rock in Hoboken, and her name was Jocelyn. She was my barber. I go in at the beginning of each month, and I go in to see her at the barber shop. There's a lot of barbers, but I'd always go to her. I'd wait if I had to. And she just made me feel, like, important. She talked to me. She listened to me. If I said something one month, she'd follow up. It was nice. And she wouldn't, like, massage me. It wasn't like that. She was, like, in her, like, she was 35, and she was a little older. And when she would cut my hair, she would always kind of, like tap me a little. And it was nice. I needed, like, a little tap. And it was just, like, for 20 minutes, it was like heaven. And when the haircut was almost over, it was getting close, she would put, like, hot shaving cream on the back of my neck. Take out a straight razor, and then, like, slowly just shave the back of my neck. It was nice. I felt like a big boy. And when it was done, she was just so gentle. She'd wipe it off, and then she put a little cologne, like old man cologne. It was good. I like it. And she'd, like, pat me, and it felt good. And I'd say bye, give her a good tip, $3. And I, and like I'd walk out, and the feeling I had when I'd walk out of the barbershop, I had like that new like haircut smell, and like I always had like a little swagger. Like I needed that swagger because the rest of the month was going to be really tough and I was going to fall apart. But I knew I had like a light at the end of the tunnel. And at the beginning of the next month, Jocelyn was going to be there and she was going to put me back together. So this went on for a couple years and it was good. And I got this pretty good perma temp job for a French company. I don't speak French, but they treated me okay. Everybody talked in French. I just would talk in English, and I was like an island. I always thought they were talking about me, you know, because they're just talking and you don't know what they're saying, and then they're staring at you and pointing at you. I'm not a jerk, but I can tell when people are talking about me being a jerk. So one day I went in and everybody seemed very happy, and they gave me my notice, and it was really tough, and it was like the middle of the month, so this was like I needed Jocelyn really bad, but I really didn't need a haircut, so I struggled, and I just didn't know what to do, and mentally I wasn't feeling well, and I was like, oh man, so I've never gone in early, but I'm going early this time. And I went in on a Saturday, and it was really, really crowded at the barber. A lot of people get their hair in Hoboken on Saturdays, so you know. And like I was looking around, I was trying to find her, and I couldn't see her, you know. And I got panicked, and then I finally asked one of the other barbers. I'm like, "Where's Jocelyn?" And he goes, "She's not here anymore." I go, "Where is she? What barber shop? Because I'm going. You guys are nice, but she's my girl. I'm going to her." And he's like, "Guys, she's not a barber anymore. She does real estate now." I'm like, that's kind of screwed up, you know. He's like, "I got to get back to my haircut." All right, so he booed me up. So now I'm like freaking out. Mentally, I'm continuing to spiral. And for like the next 6 months, I start going to different barbers, and it's not good. I tried the barber shop at the Port Authority. If you've ever been there, they've since closed. Go figure. They weren't very nice. They weren't very nice. They didn't listen. They didn't make me feel important at all. And I went to this other place in Hoboken that had just opened up, and it was kind of like a techno dance haircut place, but I tried, you know. I went in, and the girl was kind of a little more touchy than I just wanted to talk. And she was squeezing and talking, and I said, "Well, listen to me." And she's like, hey, listen to me." And I'm like, what? And I go, and she like whispered, and she said, $25, and I'll give you a haircut and a lap dance." And I said, "Can you just shave the back of my neck?" And so I didn't get a lap dance, but I was scared. I couldn't go back. I am what I am. I'm just not. If I go in to get a haircut, I just want to get a haircut. I don't want to get a lap dance. Sorry. I mean, it makes me different. Go figure. I don't care. And then I went to this other place, and I have glasses, and when you take off the glasses, I'm blind as a bat. And I was going to have this interview for a new temp job that was going to be perma, so there's possibilities that after a year or two, I could get benefits. And this guy, he cut my hair, and he took a long time. And then when he put the glasses on, I looked, and he'd given me like a faux mohawk. And I mean, I'm not the type of guy that looks good in anything but like a little just snip and clip. So I looked awful, and it was terrible. And I didn't get that job, by the way. It was probably like my lowest point of my years in New York. It was like midnight, and I got up and I go, "I gotta do something." So I took a little walk, and I was feeling bad for myself. And what I do when I feel bad for myself, I go to the 24-hour bodega, and I get a banana, because calcium is good for me, and potassium, so it helps my body and my bones. That's what my doctor says. I follow him. So I'm eating my banana, and I'm walking down the street, and I go by the old barbershop. I'm just kind of thinking about old times, you know. And I look, and on the window, there's a poster board, and it's taped, and it's like messy handwriting. And I can barely read it, but I can read it, and it says, yes, Jocelyn is back. And I just, like, stared at it for, like, about an hour, and it made me feel so good. And I'm an emotional guy, and I'm just crying, but I'm a happy cry. And, like, I'm like, oh, my God, she's back. She's back. Yes, Jocelyn's back. Yes, Jocelyn. I just keep saying it, and I go home, and I can't sleep. And, like, in the morning, I had, like, a temp gig for 2 days, and I was really good temp. I got to say that. Even with the French company, I never called in sick. Even when I was sick, they'd have to send me home. That's the type of guy I am. I called in sick that day. I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good. Put the phone down. I shower good. I want to look good. And I went to the barber shop, and there she was. And I'm like, Jocelyn. And she's like, Adam. And I'm like, not to brag, she was just as excited to see me as I was her. All right. And I had my flowers, and she's married, so I was. But I had my flowers, and I gave her. And she goes, sit down, and we start talking. We're catching up, and I'm like, you know, what about this real estate thing in your back? She's like, you know, real estate it's just not for me. This is where I belong. I go, you're back where you belong. You're back where you belong. That a girl. Yes. You're here. So we start, and again, she's making me feel like I'm a million bucks, and she's cutting my hair. We're talking, and it's so beautiful. And she's like, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah. And she got the hot little shaving cream, and she put it on my back, and she's just gently nice. And then she was like tapping my back, and so it's like over, and I usually give her I gave her like a $10 tip. I go, welcome back. This is for you. You're back. You're good. And she's like, thank you. You know, you want change? I go, you keep the change. Come on. Look at me. Look, I mean, there's not much you could do, but you made me look good. And we laugh. And I walk out of the barbershop, and I got that new haircut smell. And I got that swagger. And I got to admit, like, things are still pretty bad for me. Like shit, not good, not good. Basement apartment, the temp jobs, but I had my rock. I had Jocelyn, and I knew I was gonna be all right. All right, thank you.
For Adam Wade.
Adam Wade.
He's so good.
You guys just heard Adam Wade, and I love that story. It was like such a departure for us on our show.
Yeah, it was like a cool remix.
Yeah.
But it was like sweet and funny and like cute.
He's so sweet and so tender.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if he and I were married.
Wait, what?
Did I say that out loud?
Pluto Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff. Our team includes Rachel Neal, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, Alex Overington, Joe Plort, and Shanoa Estrada.
Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky.
Oh, also, hey, Out of Towners, make sure to like us on Facebook. And if you do, you can catch the first 15 minutes of our live shows in Brooklyn. It'll be kind of like you're there, drinking a beer, laughing, pissing your pants because we're so funny, pooing yourself because we're so funny. So hit that like button and make sure you wear a big old diaper.
And while you're at it, help keep us at the top of the charts. Go to your podcast app and rate us. It really helps. Thanks. Love you, mean it, YQY. But also, Adam Wade and I would be like a cute couple.
Okay. We're going to end this right now. Seriously, though. Like us on Facebook.
The machine works. Do the kids know?
Well, yeah, the kids know.
That's great.
It's not that great.
Why?
I shrunk the kids.
Yeah, my parents were like, why did I have kids?
Yeah.
Why are we watching this right now? Sorry,
you're forcing me to watch bad stuff. These kids these days, they get really good stuff.
I know. But we had like, it was like Full House. Which
is
like,
that's too old for me. Phoebe's just like...
I'm not that much older than you.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things like our relationship with alcohol.
You know, am I having a drink because I need a drink or because I want a drink? Who's in control?
There has been times where I, like, grab a beer, go into the bathroom, I lock the door, I crack it, and I drink it.
Does your dad know you call him an alcoholic?
He does.
Let's talk about hard things together. Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.